by the light, not the dark, but the light of the silvery moon, not the sun, but the moon. The Ricardo Project is back, and today we're talking about Lucy Show Business Swanson. Hello, my beautiful Tropicanas. Welcome back to the Ricardo Project, the podcast where we watch through I Love Lucy episode by episode and talk about its historical, emotional, and comedic impact. My name is Dana. I'm so glad you've joined me today for season 2, episode 12, Lucy's Showbiz Swan Song, which premiered 70 years and change ago today on December 22nd. 1952. We're almost into the correct year to be on the 70 mark. So we're getting there. Thank you all so much for your warm welcome back last week or last Friday. It's only been a couple of days. As promised, this week I'm giving you 2 episodes just to get the ball rolling and get us all back together. I really appreciate it. And I'm really, really happy to be back. I missed you all so, so much. So let's get into it. Here's what happens in Lucy's Showbiz Swan Song, which is a mouthful to say. Oh my God. So Ricky's on the phone and he's reviewing his needs for his upcoming gay 90s show. And I did look this up. So that's the 1890s, which is like Gibson Girls, Gaslights, Bicycles. I looked it up and basically, at least at the time, I think now probably too, but especially in the 50s, this is our second reference to the gay 90s, the first being in Pioneer Women. I think this was just like the nostalgic era. I think it would kind of honestly be like, remember in like the mid-2000s, the 1950s were kind of all the rage. People were dressing super, super vintage and kind of LARPing. I think it's similar to that. Like we look at the 50s nostalgically the same way they seem to look at the 1890s nostalgically. I wonder if in the 1890s there was like a newspaper serial called I Adore Bertha or something. The fashion, the kind of prosperity, the sense of a really keen sense of like culture, you know, the beginning of rock and roll and swing dancing and just like big aesthetics, I guess is what I'm saying. So the 1890s is that for them. So Ricky needs a barbershop quartet, but they're apparently very expensive because Ricky doesn't believe in paying singers a fair wage, it would seem. So he's kind of upset about it. And the Mertzes show up and they overhear this. Of course, they shoot their shot. And they're really cute. They call themselves the Merry Mertzes. Honestly, they're great. If you're doing like a vintage-y show, like why wouldn't you have your former vaudevillian star best friends in it? Like Ricky, this is a missed opportunity for Ricky, which he seems to agree to. He acknowledges that they're very good. So Ethel says that they shouldn't talk about this too loud because what if Lucy hears? And Ricky immediately dismisses this concern because Lucy's pregnant. I mean, he actually refers to it as being in her condition. But he says that she's not going to want to be in a show when she's pregnant. And what do you know? At that exact moment, she pops out in a wild hat choice. I mean, truly, who has a hat like that just sitting around? It's amazing. She also has a parasol and she's just singing. Ricky immediately shuts her down because, again, she's going to have a baby. Did you know that when you're pregnant, you can't do anything but be pregnant? Lucy says, well, that's exactly the point. Once the baby's there, she'll have to be a parent and she'll have to take care of it. She won't be able to be in a show again. It's her farewell to show business. But Ricky still says no because she has no talent and she better not show up to the auditions tomorrow. So we all know, of course, that she's going to show up to the auditions tomorrow. So that day, Ethel comes in to check on Lucy. She's in the closet looking for a costume for her audition because she's got to cover up her pregnancy bump. She comes out wearing a full barrel, which immediately gets dismissed because, like, there's no appropriate gay 90s song. It's a very funny little sight gag, the work with the barrel. Lucy finally settles on a hoop skirt and these, like, little pantaloons. She decides that Ethel is going to play her boyfriend in a song and dance number. She threatens Ethel's godmothership of the baby to make her do it, which is just so intense. So intense. Like, what a wild swing. But it works. So they go to the Tropicana, and Pepito the Clown is here. I love Pepito. I feel like on the internet, Pepito is kind of like a 50-50, whether people like him or not. I've seen some kind of like harsher views of him. I think it's beautiful physical work. I think because it's not like actively funny. He's doing the impression of a baby cry. He's doing a lion tamer. He's riding a little bicycle. They're not like these gigantic laugh out loud things. It's more just about like a real relationship to your body and your physical work and your body as a tool for the actor. I find it incredibly impressive. But I understand why people think it's kind of wasted, filled space in the sense that it just doesn't contribute too much to the scene. And it feels like not laugh out loud funny like the slowly I turn bit in the ballet is. But I don't really care because I think it's great. And I really love seeing how in love with him Desi Arnaz is. And his vocal work is incredible. He takes my favorite part is when he goes to ride the tiny bicycle and he takes his shoes off, his like big clown shoes off to reveal like smaller shoes. It's very funny, and I've never noticed it before. But the creme de la creme really is the lion tamer bit. I found a very low quality version on YouTube. I'm going to put it in the show notes. It's really impressive work. I love it. I love it. But then it's time for the next act, which happens to be McGillicuddy and Mertz. And Ricky realizes who it is immediately, and he's like, this I gotta see. I'm not turning them away. Get in here. So they come out, and they're all dressed in their costumes. Ethel looks dashing as hell, by the way. And they sing By the Light of the Silvery Moon. It's actually pretty cute. Like, it's not worth paying to see. It's not. But it's not bad. Lucy's off key, but she's a good little dancer. Like, I was trying to think about it, and if Ricky sang and they just danced, it would work. It's going completely fine, honestly, until Lucy's pantaloons drop and they have to make this quick shuffling exit. And I know it's not time for the historical notes, but I'm just going to say when they're spinning, you can fully see her just pull the string on those pantaloons. It's not a well-covered bit, but it happens fast. And I only noticed that probably because I remember when I would watch this episode on Nick at Night, they would like do this weird interstitial after the episode or in the commercial where they would be like, did you notice that this happened? And they like slowed it down. So like, to be fair, it's a bit of an infected position. So later, Lucy is so mad because Ricky has not let them be in the show in spite of their incredible audition. Sarcasm. Ethel says that it's okay. The Mertzes can't be in the show either. Ricky couldn't find a spot for them, which again, Ricky, lost opportunity. Find a spot for your vaudevillian friends when you're doing a vintage show, you lunatic. So Ricky comes home. Lucy actively hisses and boos him. Honestly, work. Iconic. No notes. Perfect. I love it. Every moment is great. He says that there's no place for a gay 90s striptease in the show, which is a very funny little throwaway line. And Lucy gets really snippy. Ethel blames that on her condition. And Lucy, very justifiably in my opinion, but also hilariously, jumps up and yells that it is not her condition and that she was grumpy long before she ever thought about having a baby. It's very funny. This episode has some really great little lines, like one-off funny beats. So Fred comes in and it turns out that Ricky wants him to be in the barbershop quartet because, you know, again, he's not going to pay a group when he can just build one. So Ethel immediately harmonizes with Fred and agrees to dress in drag, and bam, both Mertzes in the show. Ricky decides to go super literal with his barbershop quartet and have the three of them be barbers and the fourth guy be the customer. And he also says that he's going to do an Irish accent because it's more authentic than a Cuban accent for this bit, which is, like, beautiful. Chef's kiss. So Lucy tries to get in on the action again. Ricky says hell to the no. She cannot sing, but he allows an audition at the Mertzes' cajoling just because. And she cannot hit one single note. It's actually like a little bit painful to listen to. It's very funny, but it hurts. Like, it's so bad that when she actually does find the note, everyone bursts into applause because they're just so relieved. So the trio sings these gorgeous harmonies to this beautiful song called Sweet Adeline, and Lucy causes my ears to bleed with how off she is. She has to stand farther and farther away from them so that the harmony doesn't throw her off until she's singing the repeat from her bedroom and the trio leaves the apartment, which is honestly so rude. And, like, really, really amateur hour because you don't leave Lucy unattended because the minute she realizes they're gone, this gives her the chance to call the guy who's supposed to be the fourth in the quartet. So, like, nice going, Ricky, you big dum-dum. So it's the night of the show. Ricky and the Mertzes are wearing big old mustaches and holding little shaving cream containers and old-fashioned brushes, and, quote, George Watson, end quote, is in the chair, and he's got hot towels completely obscuring his face. And we get this lovely rendition of Sweet Adeline. It's honestly beautiful. Like, the harmonies are gorgeous. And we get a really great glimpse of Ricky's attempt of aforementioned Irish accent. It's funny and without being distracting and without being, like, too over the top. It's, like, really great. Fred and Ethel give great side eye. It's going great until they take off the towels for the chorus and repeat that we just heard a few moments ago. And it's Lucy, not George Watson. And she sings horrifically. Ricky tries to cover by putting the towels back on, and they all rotate the shaving cream brushes, getting used as a stopper, until Lucy rears up and they all get the brushes in their mouths so she can belt out the final notes. And that's the end of the episode. So, what did we think? So, there's a lot to love about this episode. Like I said, the one-off lines are really fun. It's really great to see Pepito, who historically is really important to the Arnezes. I would, in fact, argue that he and Red Skelton are the two greatest influences on Lucy, on her comic persona. He's the one who trained Lucy and Desi for their showcase that led to CBS greenlighting I Love Lucy. And for that alone, he deserves a scene in the show. I mean, we owe him a great deal in many ways. And I think it's a very lovely bit. Like I said, it's very inconsequential to the episode, but I love seeing Lucy and Desi's friends on the show. And I really love that they took the opportunity to put their friends in the show. And you can see the great amount of respect that Desi has for him. And I think it's really very beautiful in its own way. I also love any episode that has the Mertzes in show business, like anything that allows those two gorgeous performers to showcase themselves, not just as comedic actors, but as singers, as dancers, as really well-rounded performers, is very worthwhile to me. And I really like when it's not just Ricky is the star and Lucy's trying to break in, but when it's really like these three people all have this thing in common that Lucy is on the outside of. I think it's a really interesting additional dynamic. You know, Ethel is also a housewife. she's a landlady, but she's also a housewife. You know, she is in the same social position, you know, as Lucy in many ways, but she's welcome into the show. And, you know, the Mertzes are obviously less public facing than the Ricardos. They're less well off ultimately than the Ricardos, but they also have this in that Lucy doesn't have. And I like all the layers of dynamics that allows for. And I just really love watching them perform. I think they've got a lot of beautiful talent and charisma to showcase. But what I really think is important is that this episode is so, so important to the series as a whole, because it really sets in motion the dichotomous life of Lucy Ricardo as both hyper ambitious and a mother in the 1950s. I mean, she'd had the ambition before, but the show was still highly domestic. And to me, this represents a turning point where the stakes get heightened and the push of the glitz of showbiz and the pull of the family become far more pronounced. The episode is central to the character of Lucy Ricardo. She loves her child. She wants to be a mother, but she is no Donna Reed. She is never going to be a woman who's content to be just one thing. And she has this fierce sense of self outside of the home. And that is so inspiring to watch, both in the context of the era of the show, but even now. I mean, we're still debating whether women can have it all. And maybe in a way, that's actually the great tragedy of the show, that Lucy ultimately kind of can't. But it's also the great joy of the show, because she never stops trying. Her ambition only gets heightened once she becomes a mother. She only tries harder to get into the show once she has something worth fighting for at home, in a way. Lucy never stops advocating for herself in all areas of her life. She always commits 100% and then some. She is uncompromising in her belief in herself. And this is my Lucy Ricardo. This is the woman that I started this podcast to find my way back to within myself. This is the Lucy that I felt that I had failed when I was on hiatus, when I couldn't find a way to do something artistically for myself and be a mother and a person with a job. this is ultimately the woman who inspired me to push through that and start recording again, because it's always a beautiful, noble effort to honor yourself by doing what you love. And to me, this episode encapsulates all of that. It's the beginning of that exquisite beauty and the familiar struggle of I Love Lucy. I mean, how can we be all the things we want to be in a world that really pushes against that? And who's going to advocate for us if we don't advocate for ourselves? Even if it's not the funniest or most notable episode, this one is so special to me because for me, it provokes all those questions and it reinforces so much how valuable it is to be your own number one fan. So with that, it's time for a few historical notes. So we talked about Pepito a little bit. The reason Pepito's in the episode is because the episode ran too short. I'm not sure why. I can't seem to figure it out. Maybe they cut something. Maybe they just wrote it and they were like, we don't need to add anything in here. So Desi had Pepito come in and do those tricks. He was originally in the pilot for the season, the unaired pilot, and he was supposed to be back in the audition, which is one of my favorite episodes, but he wasn't available at the time, so they replaced him with Buffo the Clown. So it's the act he does in this episode is almost identical to the act that he was going to do in the audition, but my understanding is they added the lion tamer bit in for this episode. So the story goes, this is what I heard. I can't reiterate it, but that William Frawley was actually like, had a very similar reaction actually to me when Lucy was singing really off key. It like really pissed him off. It made him super mad. Her awful singing was what made the episode funny, but like he hated it. He loves that song and apparently it really bothered him. Apparently he said that it sounded like putting, forgive my language, shit on a baked Alaska, which is, to me, I mean, I like anything like that that's like, oh yeah, William Frawley was a curmudgeon. A curmudgeon. And then finally, actually I have two more. For one is like a weird acting thing, which is that according to what I saw, people were flagging this episode as like, oh, for once Lucy missed a cue. Like she, right before she's supposed to sing the final note right before they start dancing in their little audition, like when she does like the silvery moon, Vivian like points at her to remind her to sing because according to the articles I read, it was like, oh, she missed her cue. I don't know. To me, unless I can find it in like Jess Oppenheimer's book and I just don't remember it or something, I'm not going to buy that. To me, it actually kind of looks like Lucy is just like not a good performer. It works kind of both ways, right? Like even if Lucille Ball did miss her cue, Lucy Ricardo is like, you know, needs help from the professional. And that's how I read it as. So I don't really know if that counts as a historical note. But my final, final historical note is that during the commercial for this episode, the commercials on these episodes were always like the sponsors, people who were sponsoring the show. Then they got the ad time. And Philip Morris Cigarettes was their biggest sponsor. And the head of Philip Morris apparently said that if viewers didn't buy enough of their cigarettes, I Love Lucy would be canceled. So it's one way to sell a show. And it definitely, look, I Love Lucy went for four more seasons, so it must have worked. So that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be watching Lucy Hires an English Tutor, and here is the logline for that. Lucy decides that her baby should be raised hearing nothing but perfect English, so she hires a tutor to teach her, Ricky, and the Mertzes proper diction. And that's it. If you would like to support this podcast in any way, shape, or form, there's lots of ways to do that. They're all in the show notes. There's minimalistic I Love Lucy merch that you can buy. You can give me a one-time tip on PayPal. You can rate and review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow on the social medias. There's lots of ways to support, and all of them mean so much. But of course, the most important thing to me is that you're enjoying your time here, and I really appreciate it. So if you could tell a friend, that would be awesome. I am very excited to talk to you on Friday, not next week, but Friday. And you know how to reach me. It'll all be in the outro that's about to roll. I'll see you on Friday for Lucy Hires an English Tutor. Thank you so much for listening to The Ricardo Project. It means more to me than you know. If you'd like to get in touch for any reason whatsoever, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me on Instagram at The Ricardo Project or by email at TheRicardoProject@gmail.com. Again, if you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast, telling a friend about it. Those are the best ways to help the show. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back on Friday for Lucy Hires an English Tutor.